Valuetown is a production of HearthSim. Find out how to support Valuetown by going to patreon.com/valuetown. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 182 of Valuetown. I'm Chanman V. That's Gara. And we've got this shady looking bunny over here. Shady bunny's joining us. What's up, man?
Doing well. Hope it's the same here.
Yeah, definitely. Got the glasses, you know, because I know it's like, you know, the glare is like so crazy from our foreheads here.
The blue light thing.
Yeah. That's nice. I've never actually worn one of those glasses. Does it help like a lot or?
It's like if I don't wear them because my eyes are used to them, like I can notice that they get like fatigued more easily looking at the blue lights.
Oh, really?
But okay. It's like Flux, right? It does a lot as well. So like you don't need to get them. I just bought them like 5 years ago or so. So I'm just used to using them.
Yeah. Nice. What about you, Gara? I could see you styling some of those. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I had one, but I think I lost them while I was like moving. I moved so many times in the past 6-7 years.
How can you wear them if you have prescription glasses, though?
Contact lenses?
Oh, you had contacts? Okay, at the time. Gotcha. Got it. I was going to say you have to do the double glass thing.
No, that's how I wear the sunglasses. Cool.
Oh, really?
When I have contacts, you know, only then.
Oh, else, okay.
I feel so stupid when I do this and I can't read the chat. I feel so stupid. I can't see anything. It's like...
You look much cooler, though.
Yeah, just to keep it up.
Look at that.
I feel like this.
Look at all that green you have. You have a bunch of green stuff on your desk. That's interesting. That's cool. Good stuff. Well, anyways, thanks for everybody for tuning in, joining us. We're going to be talking about... You know, just Dex meta, of course. Shady's here. We can, you know, get an update and maybe the backstory of, you know, his switch to standard from Arena. XR had a pretty interesting interview at Gamescom with Tice or on Tice's stream. So a lot of good discussion points there. Figure we'd bring that up. And then Q&A at the end. So if you got any questions, kind of save them for the end in Twitch chat, or you can go ahead and tweet us at ValueTownGG and we'll be sure to read them out. But let's start with our week. So this last 7 days, guys, what have you been up to? You know, are you getting ready for the final 2 days of the ladder here? And, you know, maybe what are some decks you've been playing?
So I'll start because my week was probably worse.
Okay. Start with the bad. Okay, good.
I just love playing control decks. So I always try to figure out, like, beat the meta with control decks. But... I would say that, like, because also at the beginning of last week, HS Replay said that Bakuware is pretty good, but I think this is already when the trend began to shift to Quest Strokes and stuff. And whenever I played Bakuware, I even faced Shadowrock Shaman. I don't know why would someone play Shadowrock Shaman. I don't think it's very good anymore, and it's not good against most decks, like especially with Zoo being like one of the strongest aggro decks. And Shadowrock Shaman is bad against that. You can take your Shadow... It's because of the glasses, right? No, Shadowrock Shaman, you can tech with Pyromancer to beat like Odd Paladin, those type of aggro decks. But it's very bad versus Odd Rogue and Zoo. And it's not good versus like Questrogue as well. So it's not good anymore. But I still face Shadowrock Shamans and, you know, Questrogues and Torquator Druids. Whenever I played like a control deck, and it's very frustrating. So I never had a good win rate. So I dropped, or I tanked quite a lot of ranks. And today, or actually yesterday, I went to the dark side. I started playing Temple Mage and I gained like 1,000 ranks.
Really?
Yes. And then I think Temple Mage is pretty good, but also a lot of polarized matchups. I started facing a lot of Bakuwares randomly later. And in the very end, I started playing Token Druid and I got like 70% win rate
like
3 hours. And yeah, and I get like 2,000 ranks, so that was pretty sweet. So right now, at this moment, it's going great compared to the past week.
Yeah, so Token Druid definitely seems to be the deck to, you know, to play right now. And like you said, I feel like the reaction to the Baku Warrior is in full effect at this point. I mean, Tempo Mage is something we talked about last week, right? It was on the top five decks for the day, right? Last week. So.
Oh, I want to point out that mm-hmm. Adieu brought Tempo Mage to the preliminaries.
Nice. And nice.
When we had Adieu, was it last week?
No, Celissa was last week. The week before.
Oh, the week before. Mm-hmm. I said, man, one day Adieu is going to bring Tempo Mage to a tournament, and it's going to.
And he brought it. Okay.
That's an interesting pick.
Definitely interesting pick. Shady, how about you? Like, what have you been playing recently?
I've been learning mostly because I feel like I have so much catching up to do. I just want to, because I started out playing Tempo Shudder, like when I first started playing, because it looked like a fun deck. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, man, I really don't know what everyone else is trying to do. So I just started playing lots of decks. Last week, I started grinding NA with Odd Rogue just to rank up.
Yeah.
And then like around 1,000, I started playing Deathrattle Hunter, and that went really well, like up to 300, like not so much trouble. But then it's just Questrogue, and it was so frustrating. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to learn Questrogue to see, you know, because it felt like they couldn't be beaten. I was like, okay, that's not possible, right? Like, the deck must have a weak spot. And then you really learn that, you know, the deck can have some clunky draws, or you just don't have the Vanish. That happens, right? And then you just die if you don't have the right things. So that was cool. Like, I was about like 50% win rate with Questrogue, learning it at like 300, 400 legends. So I was like, okay, that's fine, right? That's quasi for free that I learned it. And then Token Druid, like, as well. But the more standard version, like Gar was playing something
yeah,
spicy.
Well, which we can talk about here. I mean, why don't we kind of just go into the meta pulse, just because, you know, I know it on the topic bar, it's like a little bit later, but seems to be a good segue into it, given that we're talking about all these decks. So always, you know, like usual, put together different, not this one, I'll show that one in a second, put together just the power rankings for the classes and the actual popularity and how it's matching up. And you can kind of see that Druid's on top, because mostly because of Token Druid. You know, it's, we've been talking about it for the last 3 weeks, and I always said that Token Druid's always good. It's just a matter of like what timing in the meta that it just kind of zooms to the top. But you know, right now it seems to be the right moment for Token Druid because of all the quest rogues and everything that's going on right now. So they've taken over the top spot. We know Warriors dropped down a couple spots from the number one, still doing pretty well, you know, for the most part. So folks still playing Baku and Quest too, Baku Quest. Hunters hanging on there. Warlocks, you know, pretty much sitting. I think Warlock, Rogue, and Shaman pretty much the same. And I think the rest of the way, it's pretty much the same. And Priest, of course, in the bottom, as always. So not too much changing the power rankings. But popularity is pretty interesting, because Warlock finally is just out of the top spot. And I would say, like, the big decline of Warlock is like, you know, really been happening like the last 3 weeks, and it just continues on. So like last week, I think it was like at eight, maybe high 18, 19s, and it's slid down to like about 2 or 3%, you know, so it just continues to drop, kind of matches up with what's going on in the meta. I mean, Zulok is, you know, continuing to barely, you know, hang on there, you know, and kind of at the high tier two level, but that's about the only deck Warlock has. So there's not much to go on, you know, from the standpoint of that. So the popularity can't go anywhere but down at that point. Warriors up 3%. Like, it went from like 6% to 9.3%. So a lot of people playing. That's kind of what I mean by the Baku Warrior is like in full effect right now. So people are countering it at this point. But the rest of it, pretty much the same here. Anything surprising you guys by looking at this, Shady? And anything stand out to you?
No, I mean, it makes sense that the zoo drops if we see more Baku Warrior, right? Like, it's probably not a terrible matchup for the Warrior. Like, I've seen a couple even locks, but it's almost always Zoo.
Yeah, true.
It's funny, like the first Token Druid's queues I had like two even locks. I was like, this can't be happening.
like, right.
Where is all the rest?
There's a little bit of cube, too. By the way. There's a tiny bit of cube lock, too. I guess I failed to mention that, but.
But no, it looks pretty much in line. Maybe I would have figured out Druid was one more higher, like, because I see so many Druids.
Yeah. Gar, were you mentioning there?
That I also faced Evenlock. I faced two Evenlocks as soon as I started playing Token Druid, and I'm like, you know, I face only anti-control decks when I play Warrior. But I have this feeling, like, for years. It's so weird. Like, it's like the first games you switch, I feel like you always feel like
you always get the wrong matchup. Yeah.
It's so weird. But what I'm surprised is that, in my opinion, Druid should always be on top in terms of power rankings, in terms of ladder at least, just because Druid is the easiest class to mulligan, and mulligan is like 70%.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Importance in an actual match, and it's the hardest to mulligan against because all the Druid matchups are different and you want to keep different cards against different Druid archetypes. And from the Druid perspective, the mulligan is absolute easiest against every matchup. So for them, it doesn't matter too much what you are playing. Like most of the time, they would just keep like
wild. Okay, so on that topic, like this morning, I played purple and I looked at this mulligan against me. It's Druid versus Druid. He's on coin and he keeps swipe and Oakens. Druid versus Druid. And I'm like,
wait. Oh, he knows your token.
I mean, I don't think he knows. Like, he probably just assumes, right?
It's the only matchup I can think you would.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so that's the first thing. That's kind of cool. Like, he took a while, though. Like, he roped the mulligan. So I was like, well, okay. Because I would usually never do that, right? I would just
a bit harder for the round. It's common to play Whispering Woods on curve.
Yep.
And then only then you would keep swipe in all other like only if he knows 100% that you're token Druid.
Yeah, but I mean unless he was stream sniping me, there's no way you could go on the
I think if you're gonna gamble, on token Druid, like now. If you're gonna, you know, have to mulligan for something. So you know, I think you can draw out of issues a little bit easier if it's not token Druid.
Yeah, I mean, and a swipe is not the worst.
Yeah, it's not horrible, right? But okay, well, we can talk about the decks, the top five decks for the last 24 hours, and some interesting ones of, or at least one that's popped up that we haven't seen just in a while or at all, like this entire expansion, is Midrange Hunter. So we got Token Druid at 61.5 percent win rate, Midrange Hunter at 59.9, Death Rattle Hunter 58.7, Odd Warrior 57.2, and Odd Quest Warrior 56.9% win rate. And this is like the last, I would say, like 32 hours, and you know, between rank 4 and Legend, these are the decks that have kind of showed up that have at least 400 games played and seem to be, you know, rocking it right now. So Token Druid, not a surprise, but this version of the Token Druid is the one that like Gar's been playing, or something very close, and it's different. It's not the one with Violet Teacher, you know, and some in the one that's very, very common that we've seen for a long time. Why don't you talk about this a little bit, Gar? Like, what's the difference in this one, and why does the difference actually work a little better?
I think the biggest difference is it plays Floop and it doesn't play Violet Teachers. Floop is probably one of the top five strongest cards in Hearthstone. It's so flexible and it's ridiculously powerful. And when you look at the individual matchup win rates, Floop oftentimes has 90% win rate if you have it in your hand. It's higher than Kalisev.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's super insane. And yeah, that booster over win rate, I would say. And this is why this is like probably the best performing deck. And it's like if people are not familiar with the deck, they're very confused when they play against you. And like if you face matchups like, let's say, Temple Mage, mm-hmm. and they have explosive runes, you don't proc these explosive runes because you have no wider teachers. Like you can literally play the deck without playing any minions from hand. Like the first minion you play is like the Giggling Inventor, but that doesn't get countered. That's like very these niche situations. You can get out of Defile and Hellfire range and board clear range by buffing up your taunt minions through the scavenger, or what is he called?
Yeah, and the strong and shell scavenger. That's a new card, right?
And you can get this twice through the Floop. It's just, it has like a lot of floods, and even the one Serenite Chain Gang, because it's split body, mm-hmm. it's easy to set up these big boards and threaten your opponent lethal through like, you know, Savage Roar combinations. I really like this version. It's the first time that I played this today, and it makes a lot of sense. I was never a fan of the Oaken Summons. Yeah. Like when you play Violet Teacher, you play Oaken Summons just because it's a dead card. Most of the time, the second Oaken Summons is a complete dead card, and you don't need the armor, and you want to be strong against the aggressive decks, and you want to have these board floods and more consistent draws, and it's pretty good. I like it.
Shady, any experience with this deck?
No, but I do want to play it. What seems kind of strange is that, you know, you have the one chaining and the power, because that seems to be the thing that you'd instantly want to combo it with, right? To make it really powerful. But I guess you can't really fit everything, right? So
yeah, but you have Giggling, Malfurion, Spreading Plague. You have
Yeah.
So, and then the strong shell goes really well with
I guess that's the power substitute, right? Mm-hmm. Power of the world. No. It makes little sense that this would do well. I guess you have enough card draw that the Fluke is not like an issue, right? Like you always have a target for it. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah,
definitely want
to
give it a go.
Definitely and love the combo aspects of Fluke. You know, just being able to control that a bit and just like you said, the flexibility of it's so good. But Strong Shell Scavenger, I haven't actually seen someone make that play on me when I've been playing all the token druids recently. So is it something that hits like Spreading Plague a lot or Giggling? Like what do you think is the most common thing that you hit with that, Gara?
Like when I play against Shadow Shaman, I bring my board out of range from Volcano through that. It's something people absolutely don't play around. Yeah. And oftentimes the biggest thing is what I would say what happens the most of the time is the Giggling Inventor. People don't just clear Giggling Inventor if they don't have a Mossy Horror or like a Blood Knight or something. The two taunt minions will stick, and then you usually go for like a combo play. Like you go, because you have also so much ramp, mm-hmm. you go like something like, let's say Serenite plus the two taunt tokens plus that. But even if you just buff two minions, that's already good enough. If you just buff the Annoyatrons, you have 2 3/4s and hit the face.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's like a cheaper fungal, basically, right? A Fungalmancer, like in a weird way. So for those of you that not familiar with the Scavenger, it's a 4-mana 2/3 Strong Shell Scavenger rare. It's Battlecry, give your taunt minions +2/+2. So, I think in the very small element where you're only buffing two, it does feel like a Fungalmancer, but you have the ability to like pull off crazy stuff like off of a Spreading Plague, for instance.
I mean, especially right now when people don't really know that this exists, or at least most opponents. Like in Token Druid Mirrors, you can go like Wisps and he goes like, well, I'll just Plague Soul, and then you go like, well, I'll Plague Scavenger. I have 3/7s and you don't.
Right.
Yeah, that's another problem with Frostum is like when a list is like very popular and the best list, and it's played for a long period of amount of time, people learn how to play against it. And when you play against Token Druid, you know, okay, I use my single target removals for the Violet Teachers, no matter what it is. You need to have 2 or 3 board clears for the Whispering Woods Spreading Plague combo. And it's so much harder to play against a version like this because people expect the Violet Teachers and they never come down. And you make the board very hard to remove. Like if you play Serenite and buff Serenite, let's say you can buff Serenite with power of the
Mind
as well. You need way stronger board clears and way different clears. And clearing Serenite chain gang in general is awkward.
Yeah. So, hey, move your mic a little closer to you. Just it's a little inconsistent right now. Yeah. But Shady, you were saying something?
Yeah, I was wondering how this does against Questrogue, because against Questrogue, I feel like Teacher is my MVP, where you really start to, you know, like if you can force the Vanish on the dudes, like it's really good, right? Because unless they go like double deckhand, they can't really kill it, right? Unless they run a backstab, right? That's usually been my go-to versus Questrogue, just go for the Teacher and pew pew.
The very last game I played today was against Questrogue, and he completed the quest on Giggling Inventor. This was by far the most annoying game I played in my
life. That's crazy.
I've done that recently.
Seriously? That's
he played double fan. He played double fan and completed the quest with Giggling Inventor. And I still won the game. I don't know how, but it was the most annoying game I ever
played. Wow, that's a lot of Giggling Inventor.
It is so frustrating to play against that. And he did the second Giggling Inventor as well. So
did you finish it with Plague and Soul and he couldn't clear it?
I think
I win every token versus quest in the late game.
that sounds like the winning condition for the most part. So I'm not surprised.
But it was. But the thing is, Questrogue was way better versus the very very old token druid that played living mana, because you vanished the living mana and won.
Yeah.
But now the Whispering Woods, you vanish them, they cost all 0 mana. You just replay that.
Yeah,
it's not a counterplay to it. So I think if they don't play Fan, you're heavily favored. because you can also just play Whispering Woods on curve and, you know, makes like
sense. Yeah,
don't need the teacher.
I'm all for just beating the rogues, so that's
oh, dude, I'm so happy.
Completely time, fine with me. Yeah,
every time it's... I win, I dance in my room. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of going through the rest of this list, Midrange Hunter shows up really high, and Midrange Hunter I think has been a thing, you know, the last 3 or 4 days now. So just seems to be a really good spot. Is it mostly because of Quest Rogue and decks like that that this matches up super well with? I haven't actually looked at the matchup very closely with this deck.
I've seen Board Control just utterly destroy yeah. Druids.
Yeah,
it's just nice. Slays Druids apparently. So
I want to also mention Board Control because he's also going to prelims, and if you look at his lineup, the title of his four decks is Otrok Sucks, a Midrange Hunter is the Nuts.
So that's kind of giving up your strategies a little too early, right? Like, he should have just I would have stopped playing that deck after like the first 20 games and then just like hidden that, like, had that up my sleeve.
Decklist and the deadline happened.
It doesn't matter, you just can still keep it up your sleeve until the actual, you know, until you submit decks, right? But I feel like he was playing it like quite a bit.
He's playing it since day one, and I copied the deck. And
oh, has he been playing since day one? Okay, never mind then,
but a different version, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was more about he had trackers, right, for Subject 9 and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's just basically what with Secret Hunter, right? The thing in Midrange is about probably a little misleading there, but yeah,
so Hound Masters, right?
So, yeah, the Hound. Yeah, that's true. A little bit of a tweak, but it's kind of a combination of the two with the Crackling and the Secret.
As Midrange as you can go right now, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay, then we kind of rounded out Deathrattle Hunter, of course, still good. Odd Warrior, like we were talking before. This isn't I wouldn't say this is the crazy greedy one, is it? Let me see. I was playing the crazy greedy one like all week long, so this one.
Yeah, one Direhorn, no Faceless? Or?
There's the Azalina, which has been an interesting ad recently, but yeah, no Zolas, I don't believe. And yeah, so this is kind of like middle of the path. Type of Baku, not too fast and not too greedy, but then of course you got the Odd Quest Warrior, which counters that for the most part, and you know that of course goes into the, you know, just finishing the quest and just fireballing you or ragballing you basically the rest of the way. So yeah, I mean, these are the Quest Warrior still good. Odd Warrior still good, and yeah, I think this pretty much represents the meta pretty well right here. Except for Quest Rogue isn't on here. If Quest Rogue was on here too, it would be like, yeah,
I don't know why. Sums it up. But I don't know why Quest Rogue is not on there, because it kind of basically reflects the meta and how people react to it.
Like, well, this is the last 24 hours. I mean, I think if you look at maybe the last 3 days in Legend, Quest Rogue is pretty high. Let me see. Let me just kind of bring up this.
Like, even if Quest
Rogue
doesn't
is 51, I mean, it's like 51.2. That's pretty high. I mean.
But whatever deck you decide to play right now basically relies on Quest Rogue being in the meta, especially on top 100 Legend. There's a lot of Quest Rogues.
Yeah.
Like, you play all these decks like Token Druid. Like, you play decks that can't lose to Quest Rogue, basically, or that counter Quest Rogue.
Yeah, it looks like it's the sixth most popular deck right now in Legend. I mean, higher Legend's probably higher, but... But yeah, this is what you're looking at basically in Legend right now. Token's a little bit further down, surprisingly. So it could be just changing like literally within the last 48
hours. Token Druid sucks, people. You should not play it.
Yeah,
don't play it, guys. Don't.
You can play it next season, the 1st of September. I heard it's a great deck to get fast Legend.
Yeah,
in the beginning
of
the new month.
Tips from Gaara. As they revolt and say, "What are you talking about, Gaara? It's losing to Token Druids all out of run or all the last 2 days." So yeah, the playoff submits were this last week too, right? So got a chance to see, you know, like you mentioned, Boar Control, Hunter Ace, some of their decks. So I don't know, a lot of people coming going with different types of decks. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually reads the meta right and has the right lineup for it. But right now, which one would you like? Which decks would you bring to playoffs if you were, you know, you're going into it?
It's purely a gamble, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
because you can go anti-aggro, you can go anti-control or you can go aggro, and then it depends on who you face. Obviously, if you go anti-control and you face full aggro, that's a fair L. But if you face anti-aggro with your anti-control lineup, that's a fair W. And I feel like the lineups, people go super polarized in tournament strategies as well now. Like people go full all-in, hard targeting something, like either control decks or aggro decks, or just go full aggro and target greed that way. And it's a gamble. It depends on what most people bring, obviously. Like if most people bring aggro, then the anti-aggro strategy is the best. And if most people go control, then anti-control is the best.
Right. But, yeah. Well, those are, that obviously, right?
I think that on a high stakes tournament like prelims, because it takes so long to qualify, most people would not bring full aggro because it's such, you travel, this is such an important tournament. Do you really want to go full aggro? But I think full aggro is like, will prevail. I predict at least four lineups to make it in top eight with full aggro.
Wow.
So 50% of the lineups that go to top eight will have full aggro.
So when you're talking about full aggro, like what kind of lineup are you talking about? Like,
so
like
let me pull up Druid,
RDU's lineup. Oh, RDU's lineup is basically it? Okay, let me
think. RDU's always doing great when he's bringing aggro. Or? I think so. I'm not sure. Like,
okay, let's take a look at RDU's. We can look at a few of them if we need to. But
He's bringing Odrog. Oh, you have it. Odrog, Tempo Mage.
Oh, this, wow.
RDU could be Token Druid.
It's and Zoo, too? Same. Holy smokes.
And Zoo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like... So when you because a lot of people think... There was like this hype. You know, there's always like some sort of hype before deck submission. And the most recent hype was around Questrogue. A lot of rank one legend players reach rank one with Questrogue. And the most hype was definitely around Questrogue. So I've seen also a lot of lineups with Questrogue. And basically, if you bring Questrogue and you face such a lineup,
you're dead. There's like no good match.
Especially in Conquest, and prelims are Conquest, so you're just sad.
Wow, this is pretty aggressive. I mean, this is definitely very aggressive. I would think it would be like a 2-1 type of thing, or a 1-2, like a little bit of a split there might be the best thing. You know, be heavy on one side. Like if you're going to go aggro, two aggro decks and one... control kind of thing, I guess here he's probably going to get the Druid banned here, right? If there's a very heavy anti-aggro lineup against him, or maybe they include it and they ban one of these faster decks. But
what is interesting is that he is playing Maligos over Token Druid. So
it's not it just means he's not completely going all in on it, which is smart. I think it's smart to do that. Like this is still a very good deck, and it's not super slow either. Like, I mean, there are times where you can win kind of surprisingly quick with this deck, but I think it's smart to not go all in.
It's more like bias because he got multiple times rank one legend with Maligos through it. So
You think that's the reason? Maligos is good too. I mean,
if you get like if this is the meta, right? The most recent meta, and this is by far your best deck, like. Reaching rank one legend is not easy, and if you do it multiple times with that particular deck, then of course you want to bring that deck.
Oh, I guess Malagus Shrew is like a red at 50.
Okay. So in his mind, this is definitely the best deck. Like he plays it the best. It is a high skill cap deck, but he's also performing with it against the meta the best. So
yeah.
And Malagus Shrew fits in an all aggro lineup always because it targets similar deck
decks
and works with the same bond strategy as well.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff.
It's very similar to Token Druid.
Any take on this, Shady? Like, run it.
I'm getting into all of this.
Yeah, I know. You're just getting accustomed to all the decks.
I haven't played a single tournament yet. So
the
thing that I notice is the Odd Warrior is Scalebane, no Myra, right? So it's going real fast.
Oh, Wait, with the Odd Rogue here?
Yeah, the Odd Rogue. So yeah. The Scalebane Omyra. But for tournaments, I suppose it makes sense, right? It's just gonna go real, real fast. No long games with Odd Rogue. Because for me on ladder, Myra has been like so good. Like
super amazing. Good. Yeah. My experience with Myra has been really good too.
If you want to bring up the other side of the coin, we can look at Phinos lineup right after this.
Okay, sure. We can look at Phinos. Phinos is anti...
This is anti-control.
Oh, it's control the whole time? Okay, let's see this.
This is the complete opposite. He brings the Quest Rogue, Evil Log, he brings Torkwagle Druid, and Death Rattle Hunter.
Oh my gosh.
So he doesn't want to face IDU. Yeah. But yeah, it's in the hands of the gods. Like we're going to face
him. Wow, see, he's going all in here. I mean, this is literally all in. So
this is so risky.
I know, this is crazy risky.
Because in Conquest, because of the format, like, because all his decks are vulnerable to aggro, and an aggro lineup has to only like beat one of those decks multiple times. It's like especially bad in Conquest. That's what I'm trying to say.
As long as he gets through, I mean, I guess it's true. Yeah, I mean, it's because I don't know how many lineups are going to be all aggro. Like he's not going to, like, if he were to play RDU, for instance, right? He's not going to ban Malygus. Yes. I mean, he's going to let Malygus go through and ban.
Oh, it doesn't matter what he bans.
Well, it does a little bit, as long as, I guess, Malygus can win in any situation too. So it's pretty tough, but I mean,
you just ban the mage and hope for the best, I guess.
Yeah, you can't cover everything, right? So there's always going to be at least somewhat of a risk, and you just gotta go with it. But anything interesting in these decks here? Like control warlock is really interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think these are pretty standard run of the mill.
Interesting text is like if you bring up Casey, also like performing really good in tournaments. Like he has like one interesting pick in every single deck, in my opinion.
Oh, compared to others. Okay, let's take a look at Casey.
Because Casey is like one of the best performing.
Oh, it's Casey's meta players.
KCHS, I think.
HS.
He's one of the best performing ladder players. Yeah, Casey _HS.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Yeah, Casey's had a great run recently. Okay. Oh, is it not here?
Yeah,
oh,
but also ladder. I think his all time.
I'll figure it. Hold on. we'll figure it out. That's fine.
I'll just link it to you.
Okay. So yeah, playoffs are coming up. Should be obviously super exciting to watch. It's going to be it's pretty star-studded lineup that's going to be there. So
Europe.
Yeah, Europe is going to be. Okay, he's got a big old rook right in the middle here.
He has a very cool like picture. Yeah. So what is interesting is that Casey does, from what I've heard, he does like so much playtesting. I think he playtests more than anyone else. Like he starts playtesting and he playtests the whole day, like every day.
Miracle, man. Yeah.
And what is interesting, he plays Ziliax in pretty much every deck. And I've not seen anyone do that. He plays Ziliax even in Miracle Rook and in Death Rattle Hunter. That's how much he likes that card or thinks how good that card is. And like he even plays it in Big Spell Mage.
With in this Hunter? Ziliax with...
Yeah, do you have the spider?
Okay, there's a spider. Okay, I was going to say, I didn't see the spider at first. I was like... Okay,
and I guess you can buff it with Kelesef.
Yeah, it's...
But then you can see how much he likes that card.
That's interesting, yeah.
That is like
his lineup is super different. He's got Miracle and he's got Big Mage. And he's got Taunt Druid in here, right? So, wow, okay. Like I said, it's just going to be really interesting to see which lineup selection ends up prevailing, and what the stats look like in the end of the playoffs. It's going to be exciting, but no, it's always, it's like indicative of the meta. I mean, there's like a lot of viable decks right now, a little bit of rock, paper, scissors, of course, because of just how polarizing some of these decks are. But I think we're always surprised whenever we watch these, like Miracle, for instance. Miracle always, like, people are always surprised that people bring Miracle Rogue, and then all of a sudden Miracle Rogue finishes like top four, two people in the top four have it or something crazy like that. So it'll be interesting to see if Casey has the same experience here. But when's it start? It starts Friday, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I think it starts on Friday. So yeah, definitely tune in. And I'm sure it'll be all over the place. If not, just go to twitch.tv/playHearthstone, I believe, and you'll find it.
like this, it's going to be Swiss, so it's always going to be a bit tricky to follow how your favorite play is going to do.
Sure, sure. You know, you always got Twitter. You know, people are tweeting it all the time. Okay, well, why don't we move on? Shady, you know, having you on, you know, definitely I figured it would be a great opportunity since we haven't had you on since you decided to switch from Arena to Meta. In fact, the last time you were on, you were here as an Arena expert talking with...
Yes.
Right, right. So let's... I guess let's get people up to speed. Shady, you decided to go, you know, become more of a standard player, you know, instead of a constructed player, instead of Arena. And, you know, why don't you maybe go into it a little bit, Shady, like why you decided to do that? Because there aren't many Arena streamers these days, and you were like one of the, you know, top Arena streamers. So, you know, deciding to go standard, I'm not sure from a streaming standpoint that's good or bad.
It sounds a bit weird, yeah, for a lot of people, like, a lot of my viewers, they were like, well, you know, are you sure this is a good idea? There's so many people playing Constructed. But for me, the answer was, it had a couple factors, right? One was that I feel like the game mode is just supported so much better by Blizzard. And the way how I like to play games is supported a lot better as well. I like to really try hard. I enjoy games where I get to really, you know, push myself the max and learn as much as I can. And if you do that in Arena, there's some recognition, right? If people go, yeah, you know, you're good at Arena, but you can say that you have like you know, let's say you have a 7.9 win average. That's elite. That's insanely good. Mm-hmm. Like overall, right? I'm not talking for a leaderboard push or whatnot. And if people go like, yeah, but lots of people have a 7 win average. So I mean, you know, like you're good, right? But if you play Legend and you're, you know, top 200 Legend all the time, they go like, oh my God, you're so good. Like, you know, like that means something. Whereas I think that it's like, it's a lot harder to have that Arena average than it is to have like a high Legend number.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, we're talking like insane consistency here. Right. But anyways, that's a big factor, that the way how I like to play the game is just supported so much better. The other one was that I kind of just rolled into it because, well, it's about, let's say, 2 weeks before Boomsday hits, there was this bug in Arena where you had 2 to 3 times as many rares than you normally would have. And Blizzard just said, okay, we're gonna fix that next expansion. So basically just, you know, endure it. And one of those rares was Mind Control Tech. And it just became so stupid, because in Constructed, like, I don't mind it because you kind of know which decks run it. Mm-hmm. And it's at your own risk that you play into it, and you have tools to play around it a decent amount of the time. In Arena, the majority of the decks minions, so that's the way how you win the board, that's the way how you push. And I just got tired of losing for making the right play over and over. It's like, well, I have to play this minion, and then he texts me, and I'm just like, okay, well, that was fun. So it's those two factors combined, and I just started playing Constructed, really enjoyed it, really liked learning everything. Mm-hmm. I found that extra dimension where I could just be like, oh, you've played 2 plays, so you can't have a third one. That was really cool.
Yeah.
In Arena, you never know, right? It's you might have 3 defiles and 2 nethers. You never know.
Yeah. And
whereas now, So it's just really
There's
cool
more game theory and more gamesmanship, I would say, in Standard. You know, being able to predict and know, like, there's definitely an element of... you know, element of fun that Arena never has. Arena's just, you know, you just play, it's always, I think a lot of people have always seen Arena as just playing the highest percentage play, you know, and just knowing for that sure. For so many different scenarios is what's so impressive about, you know, just you guys and or the top Arena players. But
yeah, I would say that whenever I, now I get to see both sides, right? Because I'm decent at Constructed now, where, I mean, I have so much left to learn, right? But I can see that when I make mistakes, the most common mistakes is I played around stuff rather than like, no, I need to play around the specific card. But in Arena, you play around stuff. You're like, okay, I'm going to like trade this guy because he might have an AoE. That AoE might be a Primordial Drake. It might be a Defile. But I mean, when I'm playing against a very specific deck, I know like, okay, there is nothing you can do here. Mm-hmm. Like there's not a single card in your deck that can beat me here. So I should... It mostly involves trading. It's right. Like, well, I go face, right? But in Arena, if you're in a winning spot, a lot of the time, the only way you lose is like you go face and then they pull out this ridiculous amount of damage somehow, or they
clear your board.
They,
yeah.
they steal your charge guy and kill you or something stupid. So in Arena, when you're ahead, a lot of the time it's just trade it out and you win.
Yeah.
Whereas in Constructed, I've definitely lost games because of that. So yeah, it's been very cool to see that shift to play around very, very specific cards. I like to always ask myself now, like, what am I playing around by doing this exactly?
Yeah. Anything you miss from Arena?
Drafting, right?
Drafting, yeah.
But it's, I feel that if I play more, I'll get up to the point where I'll be able to tech my own decks and, you know, like maybe innovate, make a whole deck on its own. And that'll, you know, replace that feeling mostly, I would feel. But yeah, drafting was super fun.
Okay, so right now, in terms of like picking decks that you're trying to learn and play, like how do you do, like what are you doing? Just kind of, are you building your own decks, or are you just mostly seeing what everybody else is playing? Kind of.
So right now, I'm going fairly by the book. I just use HS Replay and what's got a high win rate? What is very popular? Because those are the two things I like to combine. Where I like to learn stuff that's good, but I also like to learn stuff that's popular, so that I know how to beat it.
Yeah,
Questroke was a very specific one where it was really funny because the day before I was just hating on Questroke and saying, why are people playing this? This is so anti-fun. And then the day after I realized I'm going to have to play this because I need to know how to beat it. And I'm glad I did. I played like 60 games of Questroke or so. Yeah. And you just learn that they're not unbeatable. Like even if they have the quest, like you can definitely still lose as the Questroke. You can't just go infinite with Zola and Giggles whenever you want. Like specific conditions need to be met. So yeah, that was good. But that's my methodology. I'm just going by popularity and win rate and slowly working myself down the list.
Yeah, kind of establishing that base knowledge. Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, I feel like I just need that. I need to know what people want to do. Like Tog, for instance, I haven't played yet. And I know what they want to do, but I haven't felt it yet, right? I don't know, like, when you're playing a deck that... When you're playing against the deck that you've played, you know, like, okay, he's thinking about this. Next turn, he's going to want to do this and that. Mm-hmm. But I'm playing against Tog, I know, like, well, he's trying to get through his deck, and then he's going to swap me and naturalize me, right? You're like, you know the broad game plan, but not the very specifics.
Okay, well, you know, definitely good luck to you. I'm sure you're going to be, you know, do well once you've put in the time and be able to, you know, learn a bunch of these decks. Right now, it's kind of a crazy time. If it was like a different meta, maybe like a year or two ago, you'd probably be able to catch up pretty quickly because there's only like three decks or four decks that are super good and everybody's playing the same decks. But right now, man, like we were just talking about the lineups, there's like 12 different decks right there we just talked about.
I prefer this. It's fun. Yeah. It gives me a lot of things to do because, you know, I mean, streaming Hearthstone is my job, so I can just put in 10 hours a day, no problem, and just like jam a bunch of decks.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Definitely good. So you see yourself being like trying to play in HCT maybe next year, or you know, trying to qualify that way?
Yeah, I think that this season, right? Because new season just started, right? So this month, definitely. I don't expect a good finish. I have so many decks I still need to learn, but then the next 3 months, I can kind of just get my first feel for how competitive it is on the ladder.
Cool.
But I don't really assume that it'll be that great. It's more for the next season that I plan to get some decent finishes and then maybe get some extra points here and there.
Okay, man. Well, that's awesome. It's going to be fun seeing your run there. And obviously, you guys can check out his stream and watch him anytime there. Are you just not going to play Arena anymore? I mean, you're going to play some Arena every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely happen. I used to stream a lot with Educated Collins, still an Arena streamer. And we just had really good fun. Right now, I just feel like I can't really put in the time just because I have so much catching up to do. But once I'm caught up and, you know, I have... Because there'll be a point where I'm just like, okay, I'm happy with two servers for now, right? And then we can just play some Arena. But right now, I don't have a feeling I'll be happy yet because there's so much to learn.
So Arena will be spare time. Hobby. The Arena hobby is how it'll be.
Honestly, I just don't want to come in there and be like, 0-3 forehead, right?
Yeah, oh, man. That would be terrible.
That's ruthless with that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to give a quick shout out just to some of our supporters of the show, our patrons, of course. If you are interested in supporting us, helping us do these shows each week, go to patreon.com/valuetown and throw a pledge our way, because it goes a long ways. And there's a lot of people that have been doing it for a long time, so we always want to take a little time and give a shout out to them. So Mike T, our legendary producer, of course, and then we've got Engine S, Raydan, Feldy Locks, Old Man Riv, Johnson C, Vince F, Alex F, Bruce W, Enburst, Gabriel G, David H, David F, and Andrew C, just to name a few. So thanks so much, guys. You guys are amazing. And again, you know, check out patreon.com/valuetown for any of the other posts that we do there. You don't have to like pay to actually see the posts that actually go on there. So just check that out when you get a chance. Okay, so another interesting thing that happened this week was that Ixar ended up appearing on Tice's stream during Gamescom, which was really awesome. And they basically had a full-out interview, you know, on Tice's stream during that time. And a lot of interesting points came up with it. There was like a Reddit thread that kind of summed it all up. But I figured out, you know, we'd talk about some of the points that came up because they seem to be really good discussion. Some good discussions that we could do here. So Quest Rogue came up, you know, as a polarized matchups, and I think just the general question came up of whether you know, I think changes are in store for it, and you know, from what I got from it is like it sounds like it's not going to happen, you know, based on I guess what we currently see with statistically, and I don't know, it could change obviously, but you know, from what I got at least from what he said, it didn't really sound like they were thinking about it quite yet. Even though he did say it's very, very popular, like, or at least right before he left for Gamescom, Quest Rogue became very, very popular. So, you know, we talked a little bit about last week, Gara, you know, that Quest Rogue just is not good for the game. But at this point, I mean, I feel like it's so popular that it's starting to at least get into the range of where I would consider the designers taking a look at this, right? But what's your take on this? At least from what you saw from the interview, like, do you get the feeling they even think that Quest Rogue is a bad thing for the game, or, you know, like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I made so many videos over the past 2 years about Quest Rogue specifically.
Yeah.
I feel like I just keep, I lost all hope in regards of Blizzard in terms of balancing the game, because it's clearly not balanced competitive wise, like not even close. And I don't feel like they're trying, because at this point, it's almost impossible just because of certain cards like DKs. Like, how do you balance regular cards around DKs, because they're so much more powerful than regular cards? And quests, right? Quest Rogue specifically. How do you balance around Quest Rogue? Like, they nerfed it 3 times. They nerfed it indirectly because, like, the gadgets and ferryman. I thought the deck would be dead when Cold Light Oracle rotated to Hall of Fame and Gadgets and Ferryman. Those 2 cards were so important for the deck. And during that rotation, they nerfed the quest to make it a 4-4. But before they nerfed the quest that you're required to get 5 bounce backs instead of 4. So I thought all that would be enough to nerf the quest, but no. Sonya,
too good.
Sonya is by far the biggest problem with the deck, I think. Without Sonya, I think the deck would be fine, honestly. Sonya and Zola, because with Zola, you have like an infinite loop after the Valera. So you have no chance with control decks because they basically have infinite resources. So if Zola wouldn't exist, then you could actually out-resource the Quest Rogue and you can actually tank the damage because there are only 4/4s instead of 5/5s. But Sonya makes the quest too easy to complete, unfortunately. Like, you can just randomly at some point with 5 mana play Zola and charge in 3 minions, and then you get 4 bounce backs for 4 mana from 1 card, basically. Like, 1 card plus the charger. So way too easy, way too efficient. But this is like draw RNG, very similar to Kalasev, right? The win rate of Kalasev played on turn 2 with any deck is absolutely ridiculous. And what did the player do? The biggest problem I have with these kind of decks or with certain cards and power level of certain cards is how easy is it to play? This is what my biggest issue was with Jade Druid in the past and just Druid in general. Like, everyone knows how to play Wild Growth into Nourish into Ultimate Infestation. And that is like, that beats like most games in Hearthstone. So Kalasev, what is the skill of someone playing Kalasev turn 2? There's no skill. You draw the card and you play it
and you're 80% to win the matchup. And the thing with Questrog is you draw Sonya and you just complete the quest. So what was your skill? You drew Sonya and a charge minion.
Yeah.
And that's this, it's complicated, but it is these situations that make it so stupid. And if you really understand the game, if you play the game yourself, if you like, if Blizzard would play ladder on Legend themselves, well, they would see the problems. I would say it's not just data. It like you would immediately see, okay, Questrog is a problem. It's not just, if you just look at data, like we discussed this, like I think a year ago or so. But when you look at this, the win rate of Questrog on ladder, it looks pretty balanced or pretty fine. Like back in the days when Questrog was a bigger issue, it was 38% win rate on the ladder.
Yeah.
If you remember, 38% win rate, that's horrible. But it was like the biggest problem in tournament play because it just destroyed every control deck. It got hard countered by every aggro deck, and ladder is mainly aggro. But it was still a huge problem for the game. It doesn't matter if it's a 38% win rate ladder deck. And it's the same, the polarization, it forces, because of the polarization of, polarized matchup of Questrog, it forces people to also play super polarized decks. The people that beat Questrog is very well beatable. Those decks are usually very polarized. You play decks like Odd Rogue, which you lose to anti-control decks, or like Tempo Mage. Like, what if I don't want to play Tempo Mage? It forces you also to play certain decks if you don't want to lose to Questrog, you know? And I don't want to be forced to play decks. I want to play the deck I enjoy playing. Like, for me, it's control decks. But I feel right now they killed control decks with, like, Top Warrior Druid,
Ephraimont. Okay, yeah. Shady, what's your take? I mean, you've clearly played against a lot of rogues. I mean, you haven't been playing a deck that's decent against it. So maybe it's not quite as painful, your experience.
I haven't really gone to... For me, the biggest bad matchup was Deathrattle Hunter. So I do agree with Gara that it's just when you look at the numbers, it's fine, but just gameplay experience, it's really annoying because I was just like, well, I can't play Hunter right now. Well, that sucks. I was just like, but it's not just like, oh, you know, sometimes bad matchup. It's like, you know, I have to like try to kill him by throwing flanking strikes at his guy and going face with wolves and then hope I don't get vanished. So yeah, I think that's the main problem, that you really enter this rock, paper, scissors system, which, you know, in card games usually is there to an extent. But with Questrog, it's so like, okay, if I face aggro, I'm very likely to die. If I'm facing control, I'm very likely to win. So it's too skewed, right? The chance to win if you get a good matchup is so high, and the chance to lose if you get a bad matchup is also so high. So that's probably the main problem. If it were more 60-40, it'd be like, okay, you know, we're not favored, but you know, we can try. Yeah. Whereas, you know, if you're an Odd Warrior versus Questrog, you're just like, you just hope the guy screws up. That's essentially what you're doing. Right? Yeah. Or Valyra is like card 29. Maybe then you can win as well.
Right. Yeah, I feel like we've definitely talked a lot about Questrog. But I guess my whole thing is just like, it's the whole details, right? It's not just, like you said, Gara, about the winning percentages. Because the winning percentages are, they're not great. I mean, it's like 70-30 or something like that, like overall, which 30 is pretty darn low. Like, I think 30 is maybe even a bit too low, you know, in terms of even looking at it purely from that. But it's just the type of deck it is, right? And even just like the structure of how like the value of the card is built and how it builds up. I mean, there's just flaws there. Like you said, Sonya is a huge issue with that, you know, in terms of that. And even just the completing of the quest and the value that comes from that. I mean, there's an inherent snowball to that, which never feels good, right? Like, it feels like the game actually happened while he was trying to get to the quest, and once he gets to the quest, the game's over, right? So I don't think that, even from a design standpoint, is a good way of designing, you know, even a type of deck that's being built. You know, these quests dictate decks, you know, like people build decks around the quests. So, you know, in this particular case, you know, it literally is like, once you reach that quest, it's won, you know, like for the most part. And I think that's where the actual exact problem with the deck is really in that, you know, the way that crazy amounts of value come at the end. And, you know, changing it from a 5-5 to a 4-4 sure helps.
And the players, wait, I have to add that players don't really interact with each other. The quest doesn't exactly really want to interact. Mm-hmm. He plays like his solitaire game.
Yeah.
And, but the opponent can't also interact with you completing the quest too much, except he goes just face and kills you before you complete the quest.
Yeah. I mean, like, think about the Warlock quest, right? The Warlock quest is, it's not exactly the same, you know, in the design of it, but it has a similar type of you know, value result to it in the end. I mean, it's not quite as crazy as the Quest Rogue, but still, it's just like that. Thankfully, that card never was good, you know, because that card would just felt terrible, I think, if people would be using that portal like super early. So it really begs the question of just like, why are they designing cards like this? You know, like, even if it's supposed to be a meme card, you know, like, is that what it was supposed to be? And then it just became something super good? Because if it wasn't, then, you know, I put Quest Rogue in the same boat as, like, Mill. You know, it's like, these are not good designs for the game, you know? And especially when you're trying to get, like, an interactive, you know, and I mean, you can argue, I guess, a little skill in trying to pull these things off in bad matchups. But for the most part, it doesn't play for a good game. So, you know, I don't know, what are your thoughts? Like, why do you think they do design non-interactive decks? Like, there has to be a reason for it. Anybody with an idea of it? Like, I mean,
like, for me, it is so mind-blowing that I really can't find an answer why you would do that. And like, for me, it was even a bigger issue with Jade Idol, because you could have changed Jade Idol with one simple change to like shuffle three jades in your deck instead of like the infinite loop. Like, why did it need to have that effect in Druid, you know, that can cycle the deck the very fastest out of every class that is already so powerful? Like, why does Druid need to have like the best jade card in the game for one mana? Like, it was so, there was no reason for it. I like, you can't really explain it. And it's the same reason, like, why do we need to have Questrogue in the game? Like, and it, like, it's not fun to play against it. Like, I never enjoyed playing against it. It's so weird.
Well, why? I guess the question, so here's a good question. Do you enjoy playing it? You know, like, Shady, when you were playing Quest Rogue, did you even enjoy playing it?
It was challenging in that, okay, so this is my experience with Quest Rogue, right? I felt that I was misplaying every turn, and I still won because it mattered more what I was playing against rather than how that I was playing.
Wow. Okay.
I noticed a lot where, but that's not that I'm, you know, like a terrible player. It's just I feel the deck has so many little nuances and things that, you know, if you're not a master playing the deck, you'll mess up so often.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the most important thing is just getting the right matchup. So, like, I played against, this was actually kind of embarrassing, right? Because I was learning the deck and I queued up against Cho. And it was on his stream as well. And I played so poorly, but he was a warrior, so it didn't matter. Like, at one point, he even Azalina at me. He stole my prep and my vanish. And I didn't burn my prep, so he just did it again, right? So I was like, oh, what am I doing? And I was like, well, I'm a rogue and you're a warrior, so you're going to lose. That's my experience with it.
Like, this is such a good example. It is so funny, but it's because really Sho, you have to.
He's an extremely good warrior.
Sho has like 20,000 to 40,000 games of warrior played lifetime, and this is such a. And Shady just started like constructed then, and in Questrogue is like a very high skill cap deck. How polarized the matchups are, and it goes the same way. Like, if you play against a tempo mage, you can be the best Questrogue player in the world. Mm-hmm. You just die turn five.
The other guy is a mana worm, and then you die.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we see those matchups even with decks that we like to play. So, I mean, I feel like that's kind of a different discussion, you know, whether it's like a do-nothing type of deck or you know, just a single-player deck versus, you know, there being polarized matchups. I mean, so yeah. The problem with Rogue is, like, it's both.
There were so many options. It was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought it was a funny anecdote to share.
It's a good one. All right, let's move on to the next thing that they talked about. I think the mention of Giggling Inventor came up, just the fact. I think he just wanted to see if they anticipated it being as strong as it was. He said that they didn't realize it was going to be quite as strong, but they knew it would be good, you know, like want to be one of the best cards. So, you know, I think the same question came up, whether they think, you know, maybe something will change at some point, but... You know, I don't think it's I don't think there was any signs that they would do anything, you know, from what I collected from it. So let's see, next thing. Let's see. The Death Knight. I think the next thing that we're talking about is just like he mentioned the Death Knight in Hero Cards. And Gar, you alluded to it a little bit just a second ago in talking about, you know, Quest Rogue is just, you know, these cards, right? They're just so powerful right now. And
The thing is, I like the idea behind it. Like when Death Knights were first announced, I was super hyped for it.
Me too.
Back then, like we had only these vanilla cards, and then Death Knights, wow, dude. New win conditions, you know, different way of playing the game. But 2 years in, they became so annoying, right? Because they're so much more powerful than any other card. And the only counterplay usually to a Death Knight is your own Death Knight. And then it's all draw RNG. Like, you can't beat Gul'dan. Like, if I have Jaina, you need Gul'dan. Like, if you have Gul'dan, I need Jaina. Just as a dumb example. You draw Rexha. Okay, I will need my DK, my Dr. Boom, or my Jaina, whatever. And it's just, it's a card that can win a game by itself. Like, literally one card. It's...
Well, you know, it's like, yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, the power level of the DKs are super huge. And I, too, was super excited when they came out, because mostly because of the new win condition. But, you know, it's because of DKs that we've had the, you know, just the resurgence of control. You know, there was a time in Hearthstone not that long ago where it was just like all aggro and midrange, and like there was no chance of having a control deck. And now we're, you know, in this, you know, control era because of the DKs. So I think when they do get retired, I mean, what's going to fill that void? You know, like we're going to have a huge, huge void in control. I mean, things like Dr. Boom help.
Please don't call it control era right now, because this is bad as control decks has ever been.
Oh, really? I kind of feel like there's been more control decks like in the meta in the last year than there has been prior.
Right now since Dr.
Boom. Right this second.
Dr. Boom killed the control archetype, in my opinion, because the anti-control decks are good enough versus aggro, and they just destroy, like, really super polarized versus control. Like Big Spear Mage, what we have, or Bakuware, like the combo, like the Togwalker Druid. You got too many tools for the anti-control decks that the power level is just so high that there's no way. Like Shadowhawk Shaman power level and Togwalker Druid Questroke, like all these anti-control decks, or Death Rattle Hunter.
Yeah, but you could point the finger at the anti-control tools. Like, should they have been made? Yeah. They shouldn't have been made. Like, you know, these infinite like type Floop of cards and crazy, you know, Azalina just getting a ton of resources and Myra and stuff like that.
Do you remember the reaction of Floop? Like, why is Druid getting Floop? I feel like every single expansion, every pro player is like, why is Druid getting this card? It's like buffing like the best decks in the game. Like, Maligos Druid was the best deck before the expansion came out, slightly. Yeah. And then Maligos Druid got Floop, like, the most ridiculous card you can add to the deck.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, Boomsday for sure. These, you know, some of these tools mixed with, you know, some of the ones that weren't getting any play from Witchwood, I think has caused, you know, this crazy anti-control, you know, reaction. Because anti-control before was just, like, aggro. You know, it was some form of just like tempo and like trying to kill stuff. And that's pretty traditional. You know, I think that's like a traditional way of countering it. Now we actually have, you know, these slower decks that actually kill them, which is incredible, you know. And I think we've gone way overboard on that end of things and created this weird problem we've never had before in Hearthstone. So, but anyways, I guess my point is with the DKs is just that, you know, I think it's just going to be a wacky world once they are retired. And I don't know, we might end up like, I know we'll still have some heroes around, right? Like there'll still be some hero cards, you know, they seem to be still printing them one at a time or two at a time. But you know, I think that we could be in a state where it's just like, it swings like a pretty crazy aggressive, you know, aggressive end of the spectrum, which a lot of people complained about too. So it's going to be tough. I mean, I think that before this last expansion, you know, I think things were really, really good. So, you know, one thing that came up in this interview is just kind of how the design cycles are too, you know, and like how much far in advance that they're, you know, doing, or at least design for things. And I think they just finished what was it, Shady? We were just looking at it before the show.
14th and 5th. 14th set. Yeah.
Yeah. So they finished designing the set 14 and now they're starting set 15, like the initial designs for that. So set 14 is set for April 2019. So they just finished designing for that. And there's going to be, you know, a good 8 months before that comes out. So, I don't know. That's just like really tough. You know, I feel like designs should be, you know, in terms of balance designs, need to be made a lot sooner than that. And I know they reserve some space to do that, but, you know, like, do they remove cards? You know, I know they've added cards and maybe changed cards, but do they actually remove cards that are like thematic to the actual set? You know, I don't know if I've heard them actually ever say that. And, you know, some of these like anti-control things, I mean, I'll give the team more credit than maybe some other people won't. Like, I think there's good enough players on that team now that they could see how, like, you know, something like an anti-control would cause something like this. So, you know, like, I guess, like, I wonder if they have the ability to even pull stuff like that, you know?
I really wonder, like, the next year's cycle is so insane. Cube is also rotating, I think.
Oh,
like, all the DKs will be gone, all the quests will be gone, and the cube, and, like, something huge has to replace it.
Or not. Maybe nothing just replaces it, and it just, like, slows down. I mean, not slows down, but the value goes down, and... You know, that's the biggest thing with those cards you talked about. The value level is just insane right now at the end of games. And it allows for crazy combos, allows for just, you know, endless games, basically. You know, and so I think that part will converge, you know, definitely probably shorten games, which, you know, obviously will have an effect on meta too. But...
never go back to vanilla. Never.
Well, not like because
because some cards always stay in the game. For example, like you mentioned, Dr. Boom stays in the game and Hagata, those two DKs. And if other DKs rotate out, that makes these even more powerful. So if
you think Hagata would be like crazy over the top?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like Shadowbox stays also in the game.
Yeah, like Hagatha alone, because I played a lot of the Tempo Shredder, right? And Hagatha alone, you can just win against Old Warrior. You can just
it's insane.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, you just get Stonehill. What it's called?
What I do, right? I just never play Lich King, and I just like I hard mode for Hagatha and just try to get Eureka, and you just like play Eureka, get a Lich King from your hand, and then you try to Spirit Echo, and just like it's like
oh wow.
You can just like Spirit Echo Firefly, and then you like Firefly again, get another spell, play the flame, get another spell. It's just
oh man.
I think Tempo Shudder, which is like a mid range deck, right, is favored against Old Warrior by fatiguing the warrior.
That's what I mean. That's
just because Hagatha. Hagatha is not the thing, you don't come close to. I mean, you can beat the warrior, but you have to actually kill them, right? But with Hagatha, you can fatigue them, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that with the DKs, like you either have, I mean, there's a limit. Well, maybe there's not. The kind of thing that you're describing is like a never ending, it's like a never ending type of value cycle there. But, but you know, I think that for the most part, But, you know, I think mostly, you know, like they're either divided into the bucket where it is like just never ending kind of value where, you know, like Rexxar and stuff can just like continue hero power and create value. Or it's like, just a burst of stuff like Gul'dan, right? Just a huge burst, and you finish the game, awesome, you win. If you don't, then you know you're gonna lose because you're gonna run out of resources. So I think that they seem to be sticking with that, you know, or at least with the value ones, because that's what Dr. Boom is too, and Hagatha has the same, you know, attributes to them. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next.
I'm curious if every set's gonna have DK from now on.
I think so.
I know what they started, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's DK, but it's just going to be heroes.
Yeah,
right?
Sorry, like
it's
going to
be two heroes like, each time. Yeah,
I call them DKs because, you know,
yeah. They're ridiculous at the start. Yeah. Right. Okay, well, let's see. Anything else in the interview kind of stand out, like maybe worth talking about, you guys thought?
It was just like for a giggle, like... Like I don't really mind the art too much right now, and like, but that's because Blood Knight, really. because a lot of the time
in Mossy,
I was playing Oddrogue and I was like, man, I'm so happy Giggle is popular, because it's like you're just a Blood Knight in your head, like play your Giggle, and just like it's so good. And whenever I play against the deck that I know can run Blood Knight, I'm terrified. I'm just like, am I gonna lose the game by playing this card? So like, it's definitely powerful and super popular, but as long as people can, you know, figure out decks where Blood Knight works, that's such a huge counter. Because like, you get the 9/9 and it's like the shields are gone. It's it's a really big swing. So
I feel like I keep repeating myself since 2014 how important counterplay is. This is why Giggling Inventor is not a problem. Counterplay
is, yeah.
For both sides. Like, this is huge. This is why Giggling Inventor is not overpowered. You have the Mossy Horrors. A lot of people are attacking that. You just play it on curve and then you blow you out. It's like insane value. And the Blood Knight in aggressive decks mostly, like Oddrogue and stuff, because it fits perfectly in the deck. That both players have to think, okay, if I, like Shady said, I have the same feeling. Like, I play Druid, I have this card in my hand. If he Blood Knights me, I lose the game because Druid has no heart removal. But there's counterplay from both sides. It's great. This is what we need. But if I've played, let's say, Baku Warrior against Torgwreck or Druid, well, I will lose the game, and there's absolutely nothing I can do at any point of the game to influence the game that I win. So that sucks. It's very bad game experience wise. Yeah. And this is, I think, especially extreme against Questrogue, because it's so polarized and it doesn't really come down to the plays. Like Shady said, like, he played against Shio, one of the best players still, I would say. And the way how good you pilot your deck should matter a lot. Your tech decisions in your deck should matter a lot. Counterplay should matter a lot. How two people interact should matter a lot. And just not, I queued Questrogue into Baku Warrior, and that's why I win this game of Hearthstone.
Yeah, I didn't deserve it. I definitely didn't deserve it. Like, I was like, I
wanted to go. Is this when you feel embarrassed about your win? That's when a game is bad, when you feel embarrassed about winning.
I did. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that should be a very basic thing to check. Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we move into some Q&A for any folks that have questions in the chat. Let's see. Amiden, our normal question asker, has one. Should we have a nerf round this cycle? And does Giggling Inventor deserve a nerf? Okay, so, I mean, we just talked about Giggling, right? And I think the fact that it does have counters, like, I don't think it actually needs to be nerfed because of that. It is super popular, though, but the actual card itself, for me, doesn't, I don't know. I don't think it's actually that bad. That's at least my opinion. Should we have a nerf? Yeah, of course. Like, I think nerfing anything or buffing anything is good for the game, you know, like in keeping things interesting during mid expansions. What do you guys think?
Make the quest harder.
Make the quest harder. What? So six, maybe? I mean, we're talking like, you might as well just not have the quest. You know what I mean? Like,
it's more like a meme suggestion. For sure.
We definitely get to the realm of that.
I want to go back to that, man. Like, yeah, if you want to change the conditions again or nerf them to, you know, 4/3s or whatnot, it's just,
Do you know that at that point when they nerfed the quest to 4/4s, everyone said, like, there's no way the quest is like ever. But now you play this Giggling Event after you complete the quest.
Oh, yeah, actually, a funny thing where if they do end up nerfing Giggle, everyone that crafted quest is going to be like, hey, I don't get a refund.
Oh, that would be brutal. No,
like, you indirectly killed the deck, but there's no reason.
That's true.
Oh, that was another thing. The nerf patches, like the removed patches as well, right? There were so many indirect nerfs to Questrogue. Like, patches was such a big deal for Questrogue as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And Questrogue is still a thing with everything that rotated it out. It's absolutely
insane.
Oh, so see, Boca Life actually says that Questrogue is far from solitaire. Zalay went on a rant about it the other day and was pretty cool. So, I mean, I think in the bad matchups for Questrogue, you're right. I mean, there is like this level of skill that, you know, some of the pro players can navigate it better than, you know, your average even legend player, like a low legend player. But that's not what we're arguing. You know, what we're arguing is that there are just some matchups that are just auto win. you know, and in those matchups, it is like solitaire. You know, I think those, like the warrior matchup, maybe, like you just said, there's not much, there's no threat. There's like literally zero threats for the quest rogue during the time he's going to quest, building up the quest. So, you know, Zelay, I'm sure, was arguing, you know, I'm sure when Zelay's playing quest rogue against like an equal or maybe even a bad matchup, that there is a ton of, you know, there's a ton of skill involved that you can maybe turn it around. But no question, there are terrible matchups against quest rogue in the meta right now.
Also, that nobody is arguing that quest rogue is one of the highest skill cap decks in the game, but that doesn't matter. That makes it even more threatening, I yeah, would say.
Exactly. That just means the win rates right now are not even represented, you know, that great at the
if
highest
level. If you play quest rogue perfectly, oh my god.
Like 90-10, kind of craziness, yeah. Okay, any other questions, guys? See, another thing here is, let's see, it says, oh, Gotrick said something earlier, which is, says, I believe some players really like those solitaire decks like Freeze Mage. That's why they print them. You know, when I asked, why would they even print them?
Again, Freeze Mage is so different because
very
there
different.
Is counterplay.
Very
there's,
different. Yeah.
There's so many different things you can do. You can out-heal yourself out of range. Mm-hmm. You expect Alexstrasza, safe healing, safe removal for Alexstrasza. There's so much interaction. It's not solitaire. Absolutely not. They run out of freezes. You can count freezes. Like, they have an amount of burn, a specific amount of burn, a specific amount of resources in terms of freezes, board clears, damage, everything. It was such a different gaming experience, and it was a super high skill cap deck. I think Freeze Mage was excellent for the game in comparison to Quest Rogue. Like, yeah. You can't, because of these infinite resources and DKs, all this mixed in combined in one deck, like you have these healing inventors after the quest complete, you have like Sonya, which is basically, you complete the quest for free for no reason, right? You like I mentioned, you can get for 5 mana, you get 4 bounce backs on one minion for just one resource, which is ridiculous. And then the Zola plus Valera infinite loop. You get 4 minions on the board. Mm-hmm. Those things, just there's no counterplay.
So, you know, the one thing so just to at least give like one positive thing about the quest, I actually do like how the quest completion is done, you know, like how you actually do complete the quest. I think it's really roguelike, and it does feel like it should be something like that. I think they just need to change just what the end result is, you know, with the core or what, you know, what is that? And if they just redesign that, I think it would be fine, actually.
It's like what I said with the DKs. The idea is great, like that we have these alternate win conditions, like different way of playing the game. Like, I think also the idea behind the quest is great. It's just that how it is in the game is so bad. I feel like the power level of DK should have just been lower. You know, even if you make them not have infinite resources, they would still be playable. Like, they're just way too strong, right? Like, for example, if Gul'dan would deal 2 damage and heal for 2, it would still be a playable card. It's just that they're over the top powerful.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, book of the follow-up. I feel like when you make a choice to play a deck like Control Warrior, you have the understanding some matches are going to be bad. People playing Odd Rogue feel the same way when they queue into Control Warrior. Yeah, I know what you mean, but it's different whenever... you know, you have a chance against, like... You know, when you're playing Control... You know, generally, if you played a control deck back in the day, right? Like, if you had, like, had a crazy aggressive deck, like, I don't know what it was, a Hunter or... You know, face hunter or anything like that, you still felt like you had a chance, you know, like if a certain combination of things happened for you. But I think that the margin of victory right now, or at least, you know, how close it is so far that like Shady was saying, he probably made a ton of mistakes during that game and he still like won fairly easily, I'm assuming, you know, like the end results are still easy.
Just as long as your Valera isn't
the
last
card. Yeah.
You just need Valera as well. And then it's actually one guy went through 8 cycles of like a shard on a super colliders and 3 Zolas before he conceded. It's like, what are you doing, man? Like, I'm just like,
no
freeze it, Zola, 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 freeze it,
exactly.
Zola, Zola, freeze it,
exactly.
Zola, Zola.
Right,
so I was like,
right.
I was just saying, why are you doing this to yourself, man? So it's like brawl, brawl, flurry, flurry. I was like, what now? More 4/4.
Let's put it this way. There shouldn't be a matchup where you literally, legitimately should concede just to save your time. Like, You know, people do it sometimes out of frustration, but this is actually at high levels, like the kind of matchups in some of these, like legitimately you should be conceding.
I mean, it can happen. Like they can MC tech one of your guys and smork you down. You don't have a vanish. Like there are ways where you can lose, but yeah, it's pretty
close. Yeah. So, yeah. And you know, that the nature of Hearthstone is that there will be bad matchups, like unless it's like a mirror matchup or something. But it just can't be to the point where, yeah, really considering auto conceding. I've never done that before, but I have done it a couple times. I have to say this last week when I had
like situations where I played 3 games in 30 seconds. Like I queued Bakuwer into Questrook, I conceded, and then I queued Bakuwer into Tempo Mage, and my opponent conceded.
Yep.
Like
yeah, and that shouldn't happen. You know,
30 seconds. Like...
Excuse the stats too, man. Totally messes up this. No, I'm just kidding. We don't count those games at all.
That's hilarious.
Okay, so any last questions? Let me check Twitter, see if there's anything else. But if anybody's got any questions in Twitch chat, definitely feel free to ask. And we'll answer it. But win trading. Win trading at 50%. That's not usually how win trading works. I guess maybe if you're going for golden heroes or something like that, you could do that. But what's your thoughts on just like, I guess, nerfs and buffs? Like we should have another round, yes or no? Like
we can't talk about buffs. Did we ever have buffs?
Okay, sorry. Nerfs.
It's just nerfs.
Just nerfs then. Should we have one in about a month or so? Maybe not even a month. Maybe like 3-4 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I'm too new to the format, but yeah. I mean, change is usually good, right? If
it's always good. Yeah, that's why I was saying, just like we should absolutely do that.
I'm just always cautious because you know they like nerfed stuff in Arena and then without properly testing it, like broke something. It's like in the Taverns of Time event when they, you know, corrected a bucket, they suddenly increased the appearance rate of the Timebound Giants, the guy that gets cheaper when you draw cards.
Yeah.
And it's like, it became a thing of like, well, who can draft the most Giants? And then the guy that shuffles your hand back into your deck. And then I play zero. Wow.
Oh, gosh, really?
It's like, that's, you know, like, yeah, you like fix the arena and then it's like way worse. But I'm assuming constructed there's like
yeah. The good news is that kind of stuff doesn't really happen on this side of the game.
Another reason, you know,
the community doesn't have to point out things that they try to like sneak in there. Yeah. You know, that at least that doesn't happen very, very often. So Gotrix has a question for you, Shady. So when are you going to actually play in a tournament? Even if it's not HCT, any kind of maybe open tournament or something like that.
So it could definitely happen next month. There's some stuff through the team that I might potentially play in just, you know, to get some experience, right? Like I don't have any, I don't want to cut any corners. So I know I need to start somewhere and, you know, get wrecked and then be like, all right, let's not do that again next time.
You're right, right. See, Oboka asks, how far in advance do you guys think that Team 5 plans? I think we just talked about it, right? Like, they plan 8 months in advance. They design 8 months in advance, and then they reserve some space, like maybe 2 or 3 slots to maybe get something in, you know, from a balance standpoint to correct or, you know, to help with whatever's currently going on in the meta. But it's not much, though. You know, it's not like a ton of room.
Basically two sets, right? So.
Yeah, two sets, which is kind of crazy. And he actually asked, when Ticking Abomination came out in Knights of the Frozen Throne, did they have the Mecha Cthune Coffin Crash thing a year later planned? Oh, I guess so, right?
Let's see, next, no, well, you have, oh yeah, so yeah, you have,
I think
have
so. Kobold,
and then you have, yeah.
No,
you have Kobolds and you have Witchwood, right?
Kobolds, Witchwood, and Booms, right?
So. Yeah. So I guess not. That's a year, right?
Oh, no? That's... Yeah.
Maybe. But it's close, right?
Yeah.
It's
close. But I would definitely not give them that much credit. I feel like that that's they're just... not... Like, when I look at the Fibonacci combo for Mechatune with the...
Boomskip,
Maligos, Mechatune, Whirlwind, doubling the rate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't think they
knew about that like that long time
before. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one would be really hard to read. No way. Read that into that.
No way.
Yeah. Speaking of Coffin Crasher, remember when everybody gave Coffin Crasher 5-star and it was going to be like one of the most broken cards in that set? And we barely even see the thing right now, which is crazy.
It's because Priest has no, that type of deck has no win condition.
Yeah. That's
so much easier to do for Arena though, rating cards. Because yeah. Much easier. You just look at mana cost stats. Like, okay, this thing's gonna be really good.
So, Coffin Crasher is good in Arena, right? Like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. But one of the things, like Corridor Creeper, like almost every Arena player was like, "This thing is broken. This thing is busted."
Yeah.
Because you know, like Arena is just minions. So it was so funny when we saw constructive players rated like bad. And we're like, "What are you guys thinking?" This
Anything that can be free is generally good. Like. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of like a rule of thumb here on out.
Looking forward to be very wrong for constructed predictions next set.
It's entertainment. It's a way to make content sometimes, man.
Yeah, you just got to go out. And the bolder the statements, the better, right?
That's right. That's definitely right.
The meta.
Right. Okay, well, I think that's all we got. Oh, you know, one last thing that we may follow up from last week is, like, did you guys end up finishing the puzzle labs? Like, Gar, did you end up finishing them all?
No, I had no time. I have to grind leather because of the finish. Yeah, I will do it like beginning of next month, I think.
I really
wanted to do it.
I still haven't finished the board clear one. My son actually beat me to finishing it too, which was like, oh my goodness. That's like another milestone. I'm not sure it's a good or bad milestone, but it's a good milestone for him and a bad one for me. But he ended up finishing it before me. Mashay, did you finish the puzzle labs?
No, I actually haven't started yet. I just felt like I had so much to catch up to.
Yeah,
for constructed, but I'm a true
constructed player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Screw the other formats, man.
I'll be enjoying it at some point, right? But I'm saving.
You're good. It's really good.
I really feel like I really don't want a ladder, but I haven't had that feeling yet.
Yeah,
or at least not for more than, you know, like my break time or whatnot.
Yeah, after actually getting to experience every single one of them, even more kudos to Blizzard just for the work they did on Puzzle Labs. So good. But okay, well, anyways, I think we're going to wrap up here. But Shady, you know, awesome discussion. And it's going to be, you know, good to have you or get a chance to watch you play Standard. And it's just, you know, watch you grow as a Standard player and maybe have you on here a bit more too, you know, if you're you know, ready and willing. It'd be amazing
for sure. Yeah. It's always great to be here, and yeah, looking forward to getting better at this format. It's been great so far. It's been great. People have been great. The game's been great. So
now, you know, it doesn't happen that often anymore, so, you know, I think even chronicling it, you know, might be something cool for, you know, you to do on YouTube or something like that, you know, just, you know, just to really, that's always a fascinating thing, right? People always talk about differences between Arena players and Standard players, and, you know, and there's always speculations as to what those things are. So really
cool. I can give both sides.
Yeah.
I can give both perspectives.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Cause how many top level Arena players do we have? I guess we've had a few in the community. Who was the Asian player that was super good at both? Gara, yeah, you should know, right? Like, who
was?
No, he's like in from the Asian server. Used to be like in the finals HCT all the time too. Is it Astrogation? I think Astrogation is like super good at both, unless I'm wrong about that. But yeah. Anyways, there's not very many people, I guess, that's been like basically at the top of both.
Stanadachi, right? He
plays
a ton of Arena.
Oh, does he really? Oh, I didn't know Stan played a lot of Arena. Okay.
That's crazy amount of wins on this main account.
Nice. Stan good at that. I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
I mean, he plays so fast, right? It's just like,
yeah, that's true. Cards. That's true. Right. All right, Gar, shout outs.
To my stream, I stream every single day, twitch.tv/GarbushShaman. All of the social media, Gara, for me there. Love you all. See you next week. And back to the grind.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll wrap things up by, you know, thank you guys for watching. Reminder that, you know, ValueTown is an HSReplay.net show. So definitely go and check out HSReplay.net to find your best decks at your rank and region, or if you're premium. If not, then just find, you know, just the general meta and, you know, just a lot of good stats there that are around the game right now. Wanna remind you guys, you can find the VODs on youtube.com/HSReplayNet, as well as on the audio channels, popular audio channels like iTunes and Google Play and Spotify. And one last thing too, you know, check out Crip's stream recently. We're doing something with Crip with HSReplay.net, so, you know, he's been using it a lot and, you know, just talking about it. So go check that out when you get a chance to. But that's going to be it, guys, for this week of ValueTown. So for Shetty Bunny, Gar, and myself, Chainman V, we'll see you next week.
See you guys.